October 27th, 2006. Questions, answers, and surviving breast cancer. When last I wrote, I was 1 week past my mastectomy and headed back down to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester for a post-surgical checkup and my first meeting with an oncologist. I feared the latter more than the surgery. I preferred my surgeon's vague optimism to what I knew the oncologist would talk about. Now we'd get into specifics, the names of the chemicals that would run into my arms, whether or not I'd need radiation following chemo, and the one I feared most, given all the best possible outcomes, my chances for living to see my grandchildren, Jackson, age 5, and Jane, age 2, graduate from high school. On the morning of these appointments, I cried bitterly while showering in the hotel adjoining the Mayo Clinic complex. Although I've been certain from the beginning that cancer would not be my ticket out of this life, I heard myself blubbering through the shower spray, whispering so that my friend Diane, still reading the morning paper in our suite, would not hear me. Oh, please, I don't want to die from this. Hearing my own voice, I stopped weeping. So what do I want to die from? I thought. I imagined touring the intensive care units of Methodist Hospital, checking out the dying of all manner of ills, like a shopper carefully considering a major purchase. And not surprisingly, nothing really appealed. I've always been way too picky. And that image seemed to put an end to my meltdown of the moment. Within half an hour, I was striding across the street from the Kaler Hotel to the clinic complex, looking, I imagined, as if I were visiting a patient, not paying my first visit to a cancer specialist. Prima Pithambraham, MD, is my Mayo oncologist. She's a middle-aged soccer mom and speaks with an accent, East Indian, I think, in a soft, confident tone. And that was important because she reviewed my diagnosis and treatment regimen to come, just as I had imagined. She said I did not need radiation, that I was going to have chemotherapy plus therapy with a drug approved just in the past 2 years, a drug that doubles life expectancy for those women who had a certain kind of cancer cell in their breast tumors. I had that kind. Lucky me. Well, I guess so. Best of all, Dr. Pete said I had every right to expect to see Jackson get his high school diploma, and then some. No guarantees, of course, just really high odds. And again, I felt lucky in a way that defies description. At this writing, I'm still healing, probably starting chemo in about a month, under the care of a Duluth clinic oncologist, and staying on the Wonder Drug therapy for many months after that. I've ordered bio bands to counteract nausea during chemo, have started serious wig shopping, and can honestly report feeling better than I have in a long time. 10 days after the mastectomy, I was walking up and down our hilly road without panting. The tiredness and sudden sweats I'd put up with over the past year were not, as I assumed, due to 2 new knees and a shoulder surgery, or job stress, or losing my mother. Those symptoms were most likely the cancer talking. So hear this. Don't assume anything when your body's trying to tell you something. At this point, I'm going to stop writing about me and focus on raising awareness about breast cancer assumptions that unnecessarily deepen the anxiety for people in recovery. For while it's true that my diagnosis has similarities to other survivors I've met, it differs greatly on many levels. So I'd like to raise reader awareness about 2 commonly uttered phrases that until now never meant much to me. One phrase is, "What stage was your cancer?" That question has an answer, but frankly, it's nobody's business. Even if it were, only a board-certified oncologist is capable of making an educated assessment of the factors that go into any one patient's staging classification. Everyone else is simply collecting tidbits for gossip. Sorry, but that's the way it sounds from my side of the abyss. The next is said with the best of intentions, which, as we all know, paved the road to hell. Well, one might say, as long as they caught it early. Friends, in those first few weeks after diagnosis, few women have any idea how long or short a time a tumor has been in their bodies. The common fear is that it's been there way too long, and it's never early enough for those of us who have had this kind of thing. Many of us blame ourselves for either doing or not doing something that might have spared us and our families this ordeal. And besides, new therapies are constantly raising the odds for survival for patients who do not catch their cancers early. So what to say? Well, what I love to hear is, what do you need? A ride to chemo? Just call. Or maybe, let me tell you about all the women I know who've survived this thing. Or best of all, you're going to make it. I'm sure of it. This last statement came from my doctor, Dr. Pete, at Mayo, during a phone conversation last Monday. So that's it for Breast Cancer Awareness Month 2006 for this columnist. I'm back to writing about life in Magnetic North, a place of beauty and beasties and things that go bump in the night. Thanks for all the support that has come my way since my first column this month. And now let's get on with surviving winter.